Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Major League Baseball threatening pitchers with 10-game suspension if they get busted for doctoring the baseball. Let's talk a little bit more about this. Eno Saros is going to join us from the Athletic Rates and Barrel podcast as well. He's been with us before, and we appreciate him coming back to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Eno. So are you? Eno, sorry.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
What's happening, man?
I dropped an Eno Speller there. Sorry about that.
Eno Slaughter, right?
Yeah, Eno Slaughter. That would have been another good one. I want to talk about this, what's going on with baseball, and I don't know, putting sticky stuff on the ball. And I'm at the point where I kind of listened to the argument about the pitchers having more control of the ball, so they're not nailing guys. Back and forth on this thing, man. Help me out. Help me out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where it started. You're throwing, harder and harder. Baseball is now about to average 94 miles an hour for the first time. And so I think, it made sense to go, how can we improve this rosin, sweat, sunscreen? That was the beginning of it. But the problem is that they're throwing in front of these machines, right? They have these tracking machines to tell them this is how many RPM, this is how your pitch is moving. And there were pitchers back then even that used pine tar. So let's say there's some pine tar. Maybe the hitters were just using the cage. The pine tar is right there. The machine's right there. You say, oh, I'm going to put some pine tar on my fingers. Bam, whoa, I got 150 RPM. And then you know that the teams are looking for guys based on spin rate. So the temptation, the technology, it all comes together to be like, okay, now I'm going to find out what the best substance is. And now you got guys boiling down Coca-Cola, boiling down bong resin, boiling down whatever they can to make the stickiest substance. There's even rumors of chemists on staff, trying to develop the best sticky substance. So that's what happens in baseball, right? You give a little inch, there's some little thing that is sort of illegal, sort of not, and people go and kind of science the crap out of it.
So the question I have, is what took so long for Major League Baseball to finally go, we got a problem here?
Well, I think it's tied to the strikeout rate. This year, we're going to have the most strikeouts of all time, and that's more than last year and more than the year before, and that was the most before. So right now, we're approaching 25% of at-bats are going to end in a strikeout this year, 24 to 25. And that's the most ever. And I think that, they're thinking about moving the mound back. They're trying all these different things to get more balls in play. And I think at some point they realized, hey, here's a thing that's already in the rule book. We can enforce this and see if we can get some strikeouts out of the game just by enforcing this rule that's already on the books.
What do you think about the thought of the 10-game ban then and still paying these guys? I mean, what does that do? How does that deter it?
Well, I think one thing they didn't want to do was change the rule book in the middle of the season. This is already enough where players are like, dang, you're going to start enforcing a rule you didn't really enforce in the middle of the season, and you're going to tell us on like June 21st, the memo said today, you're just going to tell us you're going to start enforcing it that day. That's already, made players kind of a little angry. But I think if they changed the rule book, it'd be a bigger deal. So the rule that was on the books for foreign substance was a 10-day paid suspension. I suspect that if they're monitoring the spin rates, they're monitoring the balls, they're actually testing the balls. If they see that, they're not catching people the normal way, maybe you'll see the change in punishments going forward. But I looked at it today. There's like maybe 11 pitchers have already quit the stuff, And then there's probably another 40 pitchers that are weaning off of it or might have quit the stuff. That altogether is 11% of the league. So they're going to want to see bigger drops than they're seeing right now.
Eno Saris joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, you know, they brought up in this memo that was sent around that the starters are going to be checked at least one time during the start, and every reliever is going to be checked as well as they are coming in. How do we make this so it's not Naked Gun, where here's Frank Drebin walking out to the mound and pulling out the sandpaper and the nail file and this substance and that substance? Like, what do we do to stop this? Like, because this is only going to make the game longer.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they said in the memo was that it's going to be done, you know, during pitching changes, basically during commercial breaks. So, you know, during inning changes and during pitching changes. So, you know, hopefully it won't be on TV. And that will mean that it won't necessarily drag the game out. But there is a part of this that's going to be interesting because they had this memo and there's a lot of gray areas in it. One of the gray areas is it says in the memo that the umpire can decide, like the manager can come out and say, check that pitcher. And then the umpire can decide if the manager is asking in good faith.
That's crazy.
So you just have to picture, you know, like Aaron Boone coming out there in the eighth inning and being like, check their setup guy. And then the umpire going, being like, you're only asking because it's a tie game in the eighth inning. No. So that will probably lead to some arguments. I can't imagine it won't lead to an argument at some point and maybe some longer games.
Do we get the good faith arbitrator? That's what we need. I need to point up to the stands for a good faith arbitrator.
Bring in the replay.
Yeah, no, the guys have to step into a booth, and then they've got to talk to an arbitrator in between. You know, I would like for him to go check this, please. And then the umpire will be like, I feel like he's altering the game.
His team is only down by 3 runs. I still think it's bad faith. No, 3 runs is fine. No, he gets allowed to check.
Hey, at least we'd get arguing back. I mean, I kind of missed that since they went to replay. We don't even get to see that anymore. I do think the odd part of this whole conversation is that, you know, what we're talking about, how managers, like, they weren't taking a step towards leaving the dugout to call out pitchers that were doing it. Like, we keep talking about this James Karinchak thing that happened when Steve Stone was here. When the White Sox were in, they like showed it on TV that he had this black spot on his glove, on a red glove. And, you know, Jeff Phelps was our normal partner, like arguing about the fact that I'm like, La Russa didn't want to go out to the mound to say anything, probably because he's got his own guys in there. Or maybe he just didn't realize that it was going on. And he was like, well, Steve Stone, you know, who is Steve Stone to pass judgment? I'm just like, why wouldn't a manager walk out of the dugout if they thought somebody was doctoring the ball? Guys are in on it. That's the crazy part.
Mostly because it's pervasive. Mostly because everyone's doing something. And I say everyone's doing something, I think like almost everyone's doing something that includes the sunscreen and rosin. When you start talking about the stuff that really gives you 300 RPM or more, there's a little bit of a divide when I poll people. But it's still sort of like 30 to 40%. So if it's 30 to 40%, that means you have a couple guys on your roster that are doing at least that stuff too. So I think hopefully just the manager bit won't become that big a deal because the managers won't want to do it and it'll be mostly an umpire thing. Because one of the last times this happened, there was Michael Pineda, but before that there was Brendan Donnelly. And what happened was that like Frank Robinson came out and checked Brendan Donnelly, who's also a guy who crossed picket lines, right? He was a replacement player. Yeah. So I think there was some bad blood against Brendan Donnelly. He went out there and checked him, and the next night, Mike Socha checked his guy. So I think they don't want to get into that sort of thing.
I guess that makes sense.
Makes sense.
All right. Well, we're talking pitchers and cheating, so let's move to starting pitching and the lack thereof that's taking place in Cleveland right now. So right now the rotation consists of Aaron Civale, J.C. Mejia, Cal Quantrill, and some guy named TBA. And there's two of them. So apparently there are two twins that are going to follow after that named TBA. What in the world do you do with this, Eno? Is it time to go out and get a free agent that's out there somewhere, make a trade, or is it just hope that the minor league system can make it work?
Yeah, you know, the one nice thing for the Indians is that they've been really good at producing pitching, right? So I kind of like, you know, some of what Sam Henkes is doing, if I said that name right. He's got, I'll just call him Sam. he's got really good breaking balls. And in general, the Indians develop guys with really good breaking balls, really good breaking ball command. And so they might be able to kind of find their way through this. But Tristan McKenzie has been not as good this year, and I don't necessarily see a lot of hope for the future. They're going to need to get Plesac back. It looks pretty dire right now. I don't really have an answer for you other than the fact that traditionally the Indians have found guys.
Yeah, it just seems weird, though, doesn't it? Like, I've been saying this for weeks now, and this was even before Bieber getting hurt, that the Indians are normally a team that doesn't need to go out and try to find free agent pitching to stay competitive because they've had so much depth in the minors that this really feels like a unique and an odd time for the Indians, knowing that the rotation just doesn't feel anywhere near close to being as solid as what we've been used to seeing for probably a better part of two decades.
One thing that the Indians have done, and you saw it with Carlos Carrasco, is that they traded away their pitchers before they got old and got more injured. So they've had a really good run. You know, when I look at the DL days lost or, you know, all the sort of metrics for health and injuries, the Indians do really well because they usually have a really young rotation. And if you look at some of the injuries this year, like Plesac, I mean, was he like taking a shirt off or something?
I think aggressively they got taking there. His shirt off.
Yeah, right. So they got a little bit unlucky there. And Bieber's young enough to think that this injury is a little bit surprising too. But I have a feeling we've already seen last year was three times the normal pitcher injury rate. This year we're seeing still about two times the pitcher injury rate. We're seeing some of the effects of the lost minor league season. We're seeing some of the effects of the short season last year. And we're seeing some of the effects of asking pitchers to throw as hard as they can basically all the time. And now we may add some injuries due to, you know, adjusting to not having pine tar on their fingers. So I just think that pitching depth is really important. And, you know, the Indians are just going to really have to rely on their development.
Well, the one thing they've seen to develop, you know, is Ahmed Rosario is just crushing the ball right now. And he kind of seemed like the toss-in guy in the trade that had Carlos Carrasco and Francisco Lindor. Are you buying Ahmed Rosario and how good he's been playing lately?
I am. I always thought there was a little bit of upside to him that maybe hadn't been quite captured. And right now, his numbers look in line with you know, the best version of himself, where he's just making contact, being patient enough. He's not super powerful, but he's got some power to keep people honest. I think this is who he is. He's going to be an above-average player this year, and he's a good shortstop. And it's really good that the Indians got him and Andrés Giménez because they, you know, they ended up that they took the other guy at shortstop.
All right, so let me just ask this one quick question before we go. If they take away the doctoring of the baseballs, do we truly believe that the offense is going to go up? I just, like, it's been so bad with all these no-hitters and all the strikeouts and everything. Do you truly believe the offense we're going to start to trend in the other direction once we get rid of all the goop on the ball?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. We did a piece today where I tried to model what it would look like to take the goop out of the game. And it was more offense, but it was on the order of, say, you know, it used to be 4.3 runs for the season, and now it might go up to 4.5 runs. And the strikeout rate used to be, you know, closing in on 24.5%, and we might get this down to like 23%. So, yes, there are going to be some changes, and there's probably going to be more offense. The other thing that's going to make this really kind of hard to analyze is offense peaks in August. So we are moving our way towards more offense anyway, just because the weather warms up and the ball flies better. So I would just say, generally, yes, better days are coming for offenses.
You know, thank you. I appreciate the conversation. Look forward to talking to you. Maybe closer to the trade deadline, too, to see if the Indians can actually pull something off here. Then we can also get an update on the Gook and figure out what else is going on there, too. So,
yeah,
thanks,
yeah, we'll be watching this closely. Thanks for having me.
The entire time I'm going to be thinking of the independent good faith arbiter, yes, which is just going to be Joaquin Phoenix sitting in his chair from Gladiator going thumbs up or thumbs down.
That'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. Eno, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.